Hello, this is Lafayette Faust, creator of the Nevermore Hollows podcast. Thank you for making the show a success. Please take a moment to subscribe, give 5 stars, comment, and share the show with your friends. It's the best way to help us grow and to be able to continue to provide quality horror content. Also, please support our new art director, Chris Madman Goins at Black Sheep Studios TN on Instagram. He has some amazing Nevermore Hollows art for sale, signed by the both of us, as well as many other original pieces I think you're gonna love. Now, for you horror hounds who like to have a good laugh, I invite you to check out my other podcast. It's called The Three Uncool Cats. In it, my two friends and I sit in a basement and discuss music, movies, and whatever else comes into our warped minds. I would really appreciate it if you would give it a listen. Now, with that out of the way, I invite you to sit back, turn on a light, and prepare yourself. Norman Rooks was on his way to work when he saw the handwritten sign nailed to a splintered telephone pole. It hung slightly askew, and in crimson paint someone had scrawled, "Cemetery Flowers." That was it. There was no telephone number, nor was there a website or any social media credentials. Norman owned a small advertising agency, and though he was not as successful as he would like, he was still a damn good ad man, and he found the sign a bit strange. Was someone attempting to sell cemetery flowers? If so, the campaign was a failure. No one would know who to call or where to go to buy them. A few days later, he saw a second sign and became fully intrigued. It was hung askew on a dilapidated fence. But this time, the sign had additional information. Below the word cemetery flowers was written, "Get your wish." What does getting your wish have to do with cemetery flowers? He thought. He had the idea that it might be a local florist trying to drum up some business, and he wanted to find them and offer his services. He needed to grow his own business soon because Janie, his beautiful wife of 5 years, had come to him a few days earlier with a sparkling smile and told him that she thought she might be pregnant. The news had thrilled him and scared him. The business was paying the bills, but there wasn't much left over at the end of the month. The only thing he had of any real value was his life insurance policy, and it was humiliating that he was worth more dead than alive. He planned on doing some research to find out more about the signs when he got home, but when he pulled in the driveway, Janie was waiting for him on the porch. She was crying. He rushed up and embraced her. "Honey, what's wrong?" Tears streamed down her freckled cheeks. She held up a pregnancy test. "It's negative," she sobbed. The news made his heart sink. "I'm so sorry, honey." He held her close while she wept. When she regained her composure, she went inside to the bathroom to freshen up. Needing a distraction, Norman went to the small room he used as a home office and opened his laptop. He wanted to see if he could find anything about those cryptic signs. After only a few minutes of searching, he found a website that was clearly linked to the signs. At the top of the page, written in the font of an antique typewriter, were the words, "Cemetery Flowers." And just under that, "Get Your Wish." There was no further information. There were no other buttons for him to click that took him to other pages on the site. There was no further description of the types of cemetery flowers they sold, or, for that matter, that they actually sold the flowers they were referring to. He leaned back in his chair as he considered the page in front of him. After a moment, he clicked on the words, "Cemetery Flowers," thinking it might be a hyperlink that would take him to a new page. Nothing happened. He had originally thought that this was some idiot that didn't know how to market the product, but now it all seemed purposefully ambiguous. Was this some kind of clever strategy to create an aura of mystery around their product? If so, it was an interesting but dangerous gamble. They were bound to lose a lot of customers who didn't want the hassle of solving the mystery just to buy flowers, especially when they were grieving. And he still wasn't sure how buying cemetery flowers would be a way to get your wish. He clicked on "Get Your Wish," and to his surprise was taken to a new page. In the center of this new page was a single picture of a single bouquet. It was composed of red and black roses. The leaves were dyed black, and it was tied together with crimson and black ribbon. There was nothing else on the page. Part of him was miffed at having to jump through so many hoops, but another part of him, the intrigued ad man, wanted to go further, to discover more, to see if this was going to be worth all the effort. This was either the worst or the cleverest marketing idea he'd seen in a long time. He would only know once he was at the end of the mystery. He clicked on the picture of the black bouquet. Below the picture appeared a question and a box in which he could type his response. The question was, "Who do you want to send this bouquet to?" He leaned back in his chair. He was beginning to get a weird feeling about all of this. He was brought out of his reverie when Janie stepped into the room. "What are you doing?" He turned and gave her a smile. "I am such a lucky man," he said. She shrugged. "Don't try to play me, Mr. Rooks. I know my eyes are puffy." "Maybe so," he said. "But you still look beautiful." The corners of her mouth quirked into a reluctant smile. "Okay, Mr. Smooth, what are you doing?" Norman nodded at the screen. "Just looking at this weird website that claims to sell cemetery flowers." "And you don't think they do?" Janie replied. Norman shrugged. "I'm not sure." He told her about the signs and then what he'd found thus far after searching the internet. "It's very mysterious," he said. "Either the folks behind this are trying to get your personal information to steal your identity, or they are using some bold marketing strategy that could completely backfire on them." Janie glanced at the screen and shrugged. "It's fascinating, but I'm too hungry for a mystery. How about you take me out? Cheer me up over some pizza at Dante Inferno's." Norman gave her a wide smile. She had chosen to eat at the place where they had had their first date 7 years ago. "I'd like that very much." Dante Inferno's Pizzeria is not Nevermore Hollow's only pizza joint, but it was by far the most popular. It was located on Main Street, sandwiched between Romero's Comics and Games and Pennywise Ice Cream Parlor. They arrived just as twilight fell upon the town and the antique-style street lamps winked on. They took a seat at a booth at a window. It was their favorite table because they could look out onto Main Street. With its quaint mom-and-pop storefronts and people strolling along window shopping, it was as if Norman Rockwell had personally staged the scene for one of his nostalgic paintings. Do you think we could ever afford to see a fertility doctor? Janie said after their order had been taken. Norman reached across the table and took her hand. I'm afraid we can't just now, honey. Our business is paying the bills, but that's about all. You know I want a baby very badly, too, but it's probably been a good thing we haven't gotten pregnant yet. I want to be able to give you and the baby everything. He could see the sadness in Janie's eyes, but she gave his hand a reassuring squeeze. I know you do, and I know you're working so hard to build a foundation for us as a family. Let's just change the subject and enjoy our dinner. A woman at the next table over seemed to be listening. Norman glanced over at her, and she gave a reassuring smile and said, I don't mean to pry, but I just happen to be a doctor who specializes in fertility problems. Maybe I can help. Janie's eyes shot wide with hope. Yes, I'd love to know more. My name's Janie. The woman stood and walked over. She was tall, with long auburn hair twisted into a braid. Her green eyes sparkled, and she radiated a calm confidence. I'm Helena, she said. Helena Moon. Janie scooted over in the booth and invited Helena to sit with them. After an awkward moment where Norman reiterated their inability to afford her services, Helena gave a dismissive wave and said, Let's just start by running a couple tests on the both of you to determine what is causing the infertility. I'll accept whatever your insurance will pay with no out-of-pocket expense. And if the tests show that you need my expertise, we can work something out. For the next hour, Helena and Janie bonded over pizza and conversation in such a way that at times seemed as if the two women had been lifelong friends. The next couple of weeks proved to be happy and hopeful for Janie and Norman. They were able to schedule a time for the tests, which Norman found personally embarrassing, and were now awaiting the results. He hoped that neither of them was actually infertile. Also during that time, Norman landed two new clients. They were small, but it was growth, and he had been so busy that he had completely forgotten the mystery of the cemetery flowers. However, after working 10 days straight, he found himself needing a break on a beautiful Friday afternoon, so he decided to go get some exercise. Lovecraft Park was, in essence, a large wooded area in the center of town. Dozens of paths, some paved and others not, weaved throughout and ultimately connected to a fountain that was curiously carved like some sort of giant squid creature with 100 eyes. The whole park was surrounded by an ancient stone wall. At the entrance was a black wrought iron gate with cryptic designs and sharp points. As Norman entered the park, some deputies from the sheriff's department were escorting a man in handcuffs to a cruiser while two paramedics loaded a teenaged girl into the back of an ambulance. The man was dressed in a white t-shirt and baggy pants and expensive basketball shoes. As Norman walked past them, he overheard one of the deputies say, You better hope she doesn't die. To which the man responded, Man, I just sold her the dope. It ain't my fault she overdosed. Norman shook his head in disgust. Nevermore Hollows didn't have the drug problem other cities and towns struggled with, and that was because the sheriff here dealt harshly with drug dealers who tried to set up shop. But evil is persistent, and occasionally you saw something like this happen. He decided to turn down a path that writhed through a densely wooded area. He rounded a corner, enjoying the beautiful spring day when he saw the sign. It was nailed to a twisted branch of an angel oak. The oak looked less like a tree and more like a multi-tentacled beast that had crawled from the depths of a hellish ocean. But there, on a branch at eye level, was the sign, Cemetery Flowers, again in red paint. And below that was scrawled, Get Your Wish. He stood before the massive tree, and he was stunned when the branch holding the sign snaked toward him. His mind fuzzed with murmuring in an ancient language. He couldn't understand the words, but knew it was whispering the mystery of the flowers so that his deepest wish could come true. The moment was so surreal that his flesh puckered with goosebumps, and the hair on the nape of his neck quivered. He felt himself reach for the sign, put his finger on the bright red paint. It was sticky, and a coppery smell slithered up his nose. It was blood, but for some reason that didn't bother him. He understood that if he offered blood with the flowers, his wish would come true. Yes, that's what's needed to happen. He would do it. He would offer blood with the flowers and get his wish. Blood was the answer to the mystery. Young man, are you okay? Norman snapped back to reality, feeling as if he had just awakened from a drug-induced hallucination. The tree was back to being only a tree, and the sign was written not in blood, but in red paint. He glanced around at who had spoken. It was an old woman wearing a lime green muumuu. She held a Pomeranian with a blue ribbon on its head. Someone, presumably the old woman, had dyed the poor dog's fur Barbie pink. I'm okay. Sorry, thank you. I was just lost in thought, he said. The old crone squinted at him. Are you on some kind of drug? Norman realized that her hair had been dyed the same garish pink as the Pomeranian. No, I'm not on anything. She glanced around to be sure they were alone. Then she took a tentative step closer. Did you buy any dope that young man was selling? The one they arrested? Norman shook his head. No, I did not. Really, I'm not on anything. I don't believe you, she said. Whatever it is you took, do you got extra? What? Norman said, confused. Come on now, the woman said. I was at Woodstock. I know what a trip down the Rainbow Road looks like. Give me some of whatever you have. I'll pay you. Norman was flustered. You're mistaken. I have to go now. He turned and walked away from the woman and her Barbie pink dog. He glanced over his shoulder and was surprised when she raised a gnarled middle finger at him and said, Screw you, asshole, for holding out. He wandered down the lane, trying to make sense of what had just happened with the sign and the tree. Was it a hallucination? Did he have a brain tumor? Was he going crazy? Either way, he was physically and mentally shaken. He made it back to his car, and as he drove home, he couldn't shake the feeling that what he had experienced was not a hallucination. The tree had beckoned him, and the sign had been written in blood, and it all meant something, but what? All he knew for sure was that it was tied together with the cryptic website and the black and red bouquet. But how? He was damn sure going to find out. He raced to get home, jumped out of the car, and ran into the house. He stepped into the hallway just as Janie stepped out of the downstairs bathroom. She jumped in surprise and gave a small yelp. Oh, my! You startled me. Why the rush? Norman didn't want to try and explain to her his strange experience in the park. All he wanted was to get to the bottom of the mystery. I had a great marketing idea for one of the new clients, he said. Then he noticed the sadness in her eyes. You seem upset. What's up? Janie frowned. Today is test result day. Before she could say anything further, he gave her a kiss and said, I'm also hopeful, honey. I know things are going to come together. The business will take off, and we will have a baby, and life will be so great. She glanced at the floor, unable to meet his gaze. She sighed. I love you. I love you too, he replied. No matter what, we'll get through it. He gave her a quick hug and stepped into his study. He logged on to the computer and pulled up the Cemetery Flowers website. He replayed the creepy moment in the park, how the squid-like tree had offered him the sign that was written in blood, how something, was it the tree, had whispered in his ear, making his mind fuzzy. Understanding was just beyond the light in his mind. He was so close. He clicked on the black bouquet, and the question popped up. Who do you want to send the bouquet to? Then, an answer to the mystery slithered out of the darkness in his mind. He understood how the cemetery flowers would help him get his wish. He was shaking. He had just solved the mystery, but he had to be sure. He opened a tab and searched for suspicious deaths with flowers. The top two articles detailed recent suspicious deaths where bouquets of black and red roses were found at the scene. He opened the first article. It was from 3 months ago. A 30-year-old woman had been found dead in her car at Lovecraft Park. Her eyes had been removed and shoved into her mouth. In the passenger seat sat a bouquet of black roses. A little more research revealed that 1 week later, her husband, who had been a struggling musician, got signed to a record label. The second article was more recent. A middle-aged man had been found dead in his home. He happened to have security cameras in all the rooms of his house except for the bedrooms and bathrooms. Authorities stated that the footage showed the man sitting in his chair, reading a book, and a cup of tea on the table beside him, when suddenly the video turned black for a single heartbeat. When it popped back on, the man was still sitting in the chair, holding the book, but his head had been torn off and was lying tilted to one side on the floor, looking directly up at the cameras. Its eyes were open, and the mouth was moving, as if whispering the name of his murderer. And sitting atop the table was a bouquet of black and red roses. They had not been there before the video flickered to black. The very next day, the man's widow won $10 million in the state lottery. Norman was at once assaulted with conflicting emotions of disgust, excitement, and shame. Though he did not understand how, he did understand what was happening. The spouses of these two unfortunate people must have seen the cemetery flower signs and been as intrigued as he had been. They each must have had an unfulfilled wish that they had longed for, and they surely had been so intrigued with the odd mystery to do the research and realize, just as he had done, that by using this site to send someone a bouquet, their most desired wish would come true. Now he understood his odd mixture of disgust and excitement and shame. The knowledge that he could have his deepest wish caused him excitement. The disgust came with the understanding that it came at the price of someone else's life. and his shame came from the fact that he knew that in a dark part of his soul, he was capable of offering someone up to get his wish. He shot up from the chair and paced around the room. "How can someone sacrifice their spouse?" he mumbled to himself. "There's nothing worth such an act. It's unthinkable." His eyes darted to the computer at the black and red bouquet and the deadly question, "Who do you want to send this bouquet to?" "I can't do this to Janie," he thought. "She's my life, my wife, and I love her." But the question does not specifically indicate that the recipient of the flowers has to be a spouse. If it doesn't have to be a spouse and could be anybody, what if it was someone who was bad? But he didn't know of anyone who was bad enough to deserve such a fate. He did know of someone. The drug dealer in the park, the one who had sold that poor teenage girl tainted drugs. His blood ran reptile cold. "Am I actually considering this? What kind of person am I?" "I'm better than the drug dealer," he reasoned. "Who knows how many lives he's ruined, peddling that poison? If I do this, there is one less murdering scumbag off the streets. And if Janie and I get a better life, it's worth it." Now that he'd convinced himself to send the cemetery flowers to the drug dealer, the only thing that remained was, what would he wish for? Success or a baby? First, he needed the drug dealer's name. He found that easily on the Nevermore Gazette's website and the story about the incident. Then he navigated back to the cemetery flowers page with the picture of the bouquet. In the field beside the question, he entered the drug dealer's name. Another question popped up. "What is your wish?" His heart pounded in his chest. A baby or a successful business? He reasoned that if he was wealthy, he could afford the best fertility doctors to help Janie conceive. And if for some reason she still couldn't, then the money would still go a long way to helping them enjoy life as much as possible without a child. That settled it. He typed his wish, financial success. A single word popped up. Submit? He hesitated, forcing himself to be sure. Do I really believe this will get me my wish? And can I live with myself by sacrificing this man for it? He felt the tension build and build, his chest tighten as he wrestled with indecision. Then he said aloud, "Yes," and just as his finger tensed on the mouse to click submit, there was a knock at the front door. The door's motion-sensitive camera triggered the app on his computer. A window popped up, obscuring the cemetery flowers page, blocking him from submitting his request. A shadowy figure stood at the door holding a bouquet of black and red roses. Norman's mind wrestled with confusion. Somehow, he knew that it was not a person at the door, but instead some ancient evil that had come to call. But how? Why? He had not yet submitted the drug dealer's name, and why would this entity be here at his own home carrying the bouquet? He sensed movement behind him. He turned to see that Janie had just stepped into his study. She was crying and had a look of torment on her face. There was another knock at the door, more insistent this time. Norman tried to understand what was happening. He made a move toward Janie, but she shook her head, stopping him in his tracks. The pain on her face broke his heart, and it also terrified him. "Honey, what's wrong?" "I'm so sorry, Norman," she sobbed. I love you so much. You are my soulmate. But she couldn't finish her sentence. And in the quiet between them, the entity on the porch gave three final knocks. A sickening realization crept upon Norman. Janie, what did you do? Janie sobbed. Tears streamed down her face. Norman's eyes followed one specific tear as it fell from her chin onto her hands. Then he saw the pregnancy test. He realized that was what she had been doing in the bathroom when he had gotten home. She held it up so that he could see that he was going to be a father. I figured out the mystery a couple of days ago. The one about the cemetery flowers. You have to understand, I didn't want to do this. I love you so much, but I want so desperately to be a mother. And I couldn't bear it if Helena called today with bad news. So while you were out on your walk, I logged onto the site and sent the flowers to you. From behind Janie, in the hallway, they heard the creak of the front door open. Norman tried to talk, but terror clogged his throat. Finally, he was able to croak, "But why me?" "It made the most sense," she replied. "I knew that you would have chosen success over the baby. But your life insurance policy will be plenty enough for me. So I chose the baby." The last thing Norman saw in this realm was his wife stepping aside to allow the dark figure to enter the study carrying the dark bouquet of cemetery flowers. Then his mind snapped and everything went black.